My first guest in this edition is Georgia Congressman Tom Price. He's a Republican from the Peach State's 6th Congressional District, and he's also the head of the Republican Study Committee. As you know, April 15th was the deadline to file your federal income tax returns. In a few weeks, we'll be celebrating something known as Tax Freedom Day, in which you no longer work for the federal government, but for the rest of the year, you're earning your own money. But the congressman is also pointing out something called Debt Day, and that's not a celebration. That means for the rest of the fiscal year, the government is spending money it doesn't have. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, great to be with you again.
You wrote a column for townhall.com to talk about this occasion. Just how much of a debt are we looking at right now based on the current government projections?
Well, the deficits and the debt just increase as far as the eye can see. The importance of Debt Day is that it is April 26th this year, and that, as you appropriately described, is the day when the revenue coming into the federal government for the entire fiscal year is all used up. The rest of the fiscal year from today until the end of September is the federal government will run all of its entire operations on borrowed money, on money that will contribute to the deficit and contribute to the debt. This is the earliest debt day that we have seen since people started recording this, and 3 to 4 months earlier than in the past couple of years.
And in terms of what we see for the projected Obama budget, where's this day going to fall in the years ahead?
Oh, earlier and earlier and earlier. We've got, in this administration right now, $564 billion in new debt just in the last 100 days, in 98 days, actually. In President Clinton's first 100 days, his increase in debt was $86 billion, again, compared to $564 billion under this president. In President Bush's first 100 days, in 43's first 100 days, a decrease in debt of $70 billion. Even the Clintons, when they came to office in 92, in their first year, $312 billion, as again compared to the first 98 days of this administration, $564 billion of new debt.
We're talking with Georgia Congressman Tom Price. And Congressman, I know you've had time over the Easter recess as well as most weekends to go back and talk with your constituents. When they keep hearing these terms of billions and trillions, trillion used to be an astronomical term, and it really still is, but it's used so commonly now that I think folks are getting used to it. What are you hearing back from the folks at home?
Well, you're absolutely right. The numbers are so large, they're just astounding. But people are truly fed up, and that was kind of crystallized in the tax day tea parties that occurred all across the nation. Certainly in my district, the 6th District of Georgia, we had a number of them, and one highlighted in Atlanta that was incredibly large, with over 15,000 patriotic Americans showing up and saying, look, the government is spending too much, taxing too much, and borrowing too much, and getting into our lives too much, and we need it to stop.
Congressman, in terms of the proper fiscal policy going forward to help resolve the current economic mess in this country, it's interesting to watch the debates, whether it's on cable television, on the House floor, Senate floor, on C-SPAN, and so forth, or even in print, as we often see the debate take place, that when folks talk about tax cuts as a way of stimulating the economy, as it certainly worked in the 1980s, the Democratic response is usually, it's a tired old idea, Republicans don't have any new ideas. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's such a tired old idea that it worked for President Bush initially, and then President Reagan, and President Kennedy. In fact, it's worked for every individual that has tried it, and it is it is simple economic law. It's not a tired old idea. It's the principles of economics. If you allow the American people to keep more of their hard-earned money, then the economy will increase and thrive, and in fact, you increase revenue to the federal government. So it may be an idea with which our liberal friends on the left are not familiar, but it's an idea that is tried and true, and in fact, is part of the fundamental principles of this nation that I would encourage this administration and our friends on the left to embrace.
They also say, Congressman, as you know, that these are the policies that got us into this trouble in the first place. Connect the dots, if you can, for us. How did tax cuts lead, if at all, to the current financial situation?
Well, it's a very simplistic view, and it's a good line because people chuckle and snicker when they say it, but it just isn't true. The tax cuts had nothing to do, tax reductions had nothing to do with the calamitous challenges that we've had in the economy. In fact, I would suggest that it has been the involvement of the government, inappropriate involvement of the government, and a lack of flexibility on the part of the federal government that it was not minding the store when there were these new investment vehicles that were allowed, and everybody said, well, that's not my job to watch them. And consequently, we found ourselves in a situation where nobody was watching the folks who were doing the setting up of the financial situation, and when it began to fall, it fell hard. But that wasn't a fault of tax policy. That was a fault of a bureaucratic regulatory system that's not nimble or flexible.
Congressman, we've obviously seen a $787 billion stimulus bill. We've seen a holdover omnibus bill worth over $400 billion. We've seen Congress pass the largest budget blueprint in American history. In terms of moving forward this year with legislation on issues like cap and trade and health care reform, the mantra of the Democratic leadership as well as the White House seems to be, well, we need to spend money to save money in the long run, whether it's referring to energy or health care reform. How do you react to that explanation of what they want to accomplish here in the next few months?
Well, the American people, when they hear that kind of logic, just shake their head and try to clear out their ears and make certain that they heard it correctly, because they know that they can't borrow and spend in their own lives when they don't have money coming in, and nor can a government. It's no different. Again, it's the law of economics. It's not a theory. You can't spend your way and borrow your way out of these kinds of challenges. You have to get disciplined in the spending that you do, and we ought to do that as a federal government. The Republican Study Committee, of which I'm privileged to chair, has had a number of bills that we've offered that would provide for an actual decrease in the amount of spending at the federal level, with appropriate increases for the defense of our nation, and also appropriate reductions in tax liability for both individuals and small businesses, who are the job creators in this nation, so that we could indeed have an enthusiastic and wonderful growth in our economy. Instead, what our friends on the other side, on the left side, the liberal-leaning left in this, who are running the show right now, are stifling the economy and actually making it much more difficult to get through the challenges that we've got.
Congressman, you mentioned the Republican Study Committee. When it comes to issues like energy reform, like health care reform, what are some of the alternatives we might be able to expect from you and your colleagues?
We're working diligently. We've got task forces on both of those and a number of other areas, and I have challenged our over 110 members of the Republican Study Committee in the House to make certain that we have a positive, upbeat, and optimistic, and forward-thinking alternative that embraces fundamental American principles to every single challenge that we face as a nation, and we'll have them out there, and we'll have them out there in relatively short order. We've done so on the budget. We did so on the economic, what we believe truly was an economic stimulus bill that we put out for Congress to look at. We encourage our colleagues to embrace these kinds of wonderful, positive ideas, and if people in your audience would like to take a peek at them, they're at rsc.price.house.gov, rsc.price.house.gov. Look us up and drop us a note.
Just to follow up on the cap and trade situation, because there's been a lot of developments on that lately. We just had the testimony on Friday featuring Al Gore and Newt Gingrich on Capitol Hill. We saw Henry Waxman say he wants the 20% reduction in the first piece of legislation that comes down the pike. The EPA seems ready to step in if Congress won't. So what do you see as you read the tea leaves here on this issue?
Well, I don't think that there are the votes in Congress to pass the national energy tax that this administration and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Henry Waxman desire right now. But it's possible that President Obama could say, look, we'll just do it by a regulation through the EPA. If that happens, I think it would be a reach too far. I think it would be potentially unconstitutional, but certainly not necessarily something that they wouldn't try. But I think it's important for the American people to appreciate that just taxing things doesn't make them go away. And so this crazy notion that if you tax energy use, that you will have more responsible energy use and decrease our reliance on foreign oil, just as folly. It doesn't make any sense at all. What we need is an all-of-the-above energy strategy that allows for us to use appropriately and environmentally sound ways American resources, conserve more, and then also increase our work on the new fuel, the alternative fuel that will carry us through this century.
Congressman, our last 60 seconds here, and I want to go back to where we started, and that's the frustration with the level of federal spending. You mentioned the Tea Parties, including the large one you attended in Atlanta. Some have said that's just a flash in the pan. That's not something that's going to be sustainable. What did you sense as you were among those thousands of people?
Oh, I think the energy out there is really is real. I think the enthusiasm and the passion for sticking to American principles is real. I think it's just the beginning of a remarkable movement. I would encourage the president to pay attention, and again, our friends on the left to pay attention, because the American people know that we're not following those fundamental principles and that it's imperative that we do. And until we do, we won't solve the problems that we have.
And as mentioned, some of the alternatives to the legislation we'll be seeing on the likes of energy and health care reform can be found at rsc.price.house.gov. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg, very, very much.
Tom Price, Congressman from Georgia's 6th Congressional District, Chairman of the Republican Study Committee. This is Dateline Washington.